And thank God that he knows what we can handle. Thank God he knows the answer. He is the answer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you may be going through a time today. This isn't even my message, but maybe you're going through something very difficult in your life. Something that you don't understand. Maybe you're a teenager here today and you get just got a bunch going on at home that you understand. Listen, God knows your situation. God cares about your situation. I promise you that. He cares about each one of you. Though senior saints here today may be going through some discouraging times. God knows. Oh, we know. And I love that line in the song. He's planned a beautiful design. Oh, man, praise the Lord. He can take all the different things in our lives and paint a beautiful picture of His grace and His mercy. Praise God. What a wonderful song. Thank you so much, Katie. We read the passage in Exodus chapter 20, very familiar passage in the Scriptures. Even if you're unsaved, you may know what it is. The Ten Commandments in some of our courthouses, they used to be all over the place. We know that people are trying to get them taken away, but we know the passage in Exodus 20. It is the Ten Commandments, the part of the Bible where God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. A very pivotal moment. Very pivotal moment in the Bible, in the Scriptures, when God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Look down now, verse 2, you're there. Verse 2 is a very important part of the Ten Commandments. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He prefaces giving the Ten Commandments with that statement, with that verse. He says, listen, all that I've done for you, I brought you out of Egypt, I brought you out of bondage, and let me tell you what I expect from you. Here's the rules. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you what I want from you. He didn't just expect people to obey because He's God. Well, we should obey because He's God. But listen, you think of in your life all the things that God has done for you. All the things. Hey, more than enough reason to obey Him and obey His Word. He gives them verse 2. The first four commandments, we know, they're God-word. The first four commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Those are God-word commandments. And the last six are more man-word. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. The other commandments. But every other commandment, 2 through 10, all the other commandments rest, I believe, on the first commandment. I believe that the rest of the commandments rest on that first commandment. Hey, listen, you're not going to have a problem with stealing when you have nothing before God, when God is number one in your life. Hey, you're not going to have a problem with coveting or committing adultery or killing or making graven images when God is number one in the Israelites' life. Listen, all those commandments rest on number one. Listen, the sin in our life can be taken care of if we're obeying the first commandment. All those commandments rest on the first one. And can I say this? God takes that first commandment very, very seriously. Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. He does. He takes that first commandment very seriously. All throughout the Old Testament, we see stories of God punishing idolatry and idol worship. Go over to Exodus 32 real quick. Exodus chapter 32, just an example, just one of the many examples of God, how He feels about idol worship, idolatry, having gods before Him, little g gods before Him. Exodus 32, you know the story. It's Aaron. Look at verse 1 of Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, they got a little impatient, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, with a little g, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and really, can I say this? It wasn't Moses that brought him out of Egypt. It was God that brought him out of Egypt. Well, they said, but that's what the problem was here. They were focusing on the man and not on God the Father who brought them out of Egypt. This man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. They say, oh, we've been waiting too long. We don't know where he is. Make us some gods. Now, you'd think that Aaron, the brother of Moses, would say, stop, stop, knock it off. But no, look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were into their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And look at this part. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What a slap in the face of God. Oh, to literally make this molten calf out of the earrings that they had just made. And they said, oh yeah, the thing we just made, that's what brought us out of Egypt. Oh, praise God. Listen, that's wicked. It's idolatry. And look what happens. Let's move on to verse 7. Go to verse 7. Moses is up there with the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 7, "Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Man, God was not too happy about this at all. He took it very seriously. Very seriously. Now, and throughout the rest of the chapter, we see that Moses talks to God and really kind of gives the people another chance. Thank God for second chances. But look at verse 35. "And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf." He wanted just to destroy it, but it says, "He plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made." God takes that first commandment very, very seriously. He took it seriously in the Old Testament. Can I say this, folks? God takes the first commandment very seriously in 2014. In the year 2014, the 21st century Christianity, God takes that first commandment extremely seriously. Very important to the heart of God. I have an illustration I want to use today. If you give me a moment to grab it, just to kind of help paint a picture of the message. It's my box of gods, little g gods. I'll put it right up here for a moment. Kind of put into perspective the message. The message title is No Other God. Right out of the scripture, No Other Gods. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, if you can see this, if you can't see it, I'll lift it up a little bit. It says, "Your God," little g God. Okay, God is something in your life or in my life that has taken the place of an almighty God, the one true God. Let's just see what we got in here. Let's see what we got in here. And by the way, did I not do a fantastic job of wrapping this box? Okay. Pinterest. Get on it. No, just kidding. Scotch tape. I heard someone say Scotch tape. Don't judge, okay? I'm a man. Remember that? I got to tell you, after I got all wet this morning and went home, someone came up to me and said, "I can't believe that you didn't take your wife with you. You didn't have to take your wife. You knew how to dress yourself without your wife there." It's a never-ending battle. So, folks, some gods in our life. Some gods in our life that we may have. Here's one. Maybe entertainment for some people. Listen, hey, can I say some things before I go through this whole list? Some of the things in this box, there's nothing wrong with them. They're not wicked. They're not a sin to have in your life at all. But when something takes the place of God, it becomes a sin. Entertainment, movies, TV, video games for teenagers or for adults too. They can become a god, a little g god in your life. Some people, their vehicle. Got my little Matchbox car, their vehicle. Listen, hey, I'm not one to I try to take care of my vehicle, but I'm not obsessed with my minivan. Why would I be? But some people, listen, it's all right to love cars. Hey, it's all right to love working on cars, but when working on cars takes the place of God and takes time away from God, can I tell you, it becomes a little g god in your life. For some people, teenager maybe, or college student, school. School is important. It is needed in your life. Do well in school. Do your best in school. But can I say this? And parents, don't get mad at me. But kids, can I tell you, don't spend more time on trying to get all, I got to get all A's. I got to get all the good. Yes, we want you to get good grades. But don't put it above God. Because can I say, God will help you in your schooling. Amen, folks? God will help you, college student who's trying to make ends meet, working a job, trying to go to classes. God will help you if you put Him first. Don't let school become a little g god in your life. Can I say this too? Sports. Sports are great. Sports are important in the life of a teenager. I believe that in a kid. Man, it teaches them character. But can I say, if sports takes the place of God, if sports gets in the way of obeying the commandments that are in God's Word, it becomes a little g god. Yeah. Amen? Amen. It does. Hey, people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Sports can become a god in your life. Sports games and man, I got to be there for the team. Listen, God comes first. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What else? Hey, you know what? Your friends. Your friends can become a god. Man, I have great friends. You need friends. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. The Bible talks about, a lot about friends. But when your friends take the place of God, it becomes a little g God in your life. And it takes away from God, and God is not pleased with that at all. What else we got in here? Hey, for some people, you say, well, I don't watch TV. I don't play video games. That stuff is for losers. I'm not doing that. Can I say this? Hey, reading. Listen, hey, nothing wrong. People love those Amish novels and stuff. Man, okay, good for you. Praise the Lord. Enjoy those Amish novels. Enjoy mystery novels. Enjoy those things. Hey, those are good things. It's good to fill your mind with good reading. Listen, there's a lot of junk out there to read. But listen, reading can become a god. When you're reading your novels more than you're reading God's Word. Amen. 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 They can become a god in your life. What else we got here? Oh, here's just a business card. Your job. Have you allowed your job to become a little g god in your life? Nothing wrong with doing your best at work. You should do your best at work. The Bible says, whatsoever the hand finds to do, do it with thy might. But the devil's not an idiot. And he knows how to get you to take something that's not wrong, but take something in your life and make it a little g god in your life. And your job can become a little g god. You're so focused on getting that promotion. You're so focused on working that overtime, doing this other thing that you're willing to miss out on church or on church activities or whatever it may be. Listen, I'm not saying, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt go to every church activity. I'm not saying that. But when you let your job get in the way of what God wants you to do, it becomes a little g god in your life. And God hates it. God hates it. Amen. Amen. This is not popular preaching, but I don't care. It's what the Bible says. Your job can become a god in your life. So focused on getting that raise, that promotion. Don't let it happen. What else? Hey, for some people, it's winning. Man, you just got to win. You got to be the best of the best of the best. That may be insecurity, but you just want to win at everything. You want to be the best. That can become a god in your life. All you're focused on is being the best of the best. Now, I don't know what this trophy could have been for. I didn't win it, thankfully. But either way, winning can become a little g god in your life. Hey, how about this? Whoa, this one's tough. Honey, can I tell you a quick story? I never hunted in Massachusetts. There was nothing to hunt. At least that I saw. I had like about 7 feet of trees behind my fence, and then there was the other guy's yard, so I didn't have much room to hunt. Never grew up hunting at all. Got to Michigan, and I'm like, man, I'm the only one that doesn't hunt. And I never really appealed to me completely, but I finally decided a few weeks back, someone in our church said, hey, I'd like to take you out hunting. You can get your apprentice license, the early antlerless. I'm learning all the terms of hunting now because I'm a big hunter. And I went hunting for the first time on the day of the workday. I didn't go during the workday, amen. I worked all day and then went hunting. And, you know, it was raining out and it was mosquitoes. And I'm just like, wow, this is really fun. This is great. Yeah, real cool. Thanks, guys. You know, wow, Michigan people, what's going on? Can I stop? I was texting Pastor while I was up in the tree stand. I was up there by myself. The man who brought me out he told me how to, you know, do everything and what to do, and then he left me alone and in the middle of the forest. Actually, I was right behind the church or whatever. But so I'm out there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm texting Pastor. And I'm like, I've been there an hour, and I'm thinking, man, that's been a long time. Some of you hunters are like, that's not long at all, man. I'm sitting there for an hour, and I'm texting Pastor. I'm like, man, I haven't seen a thing. And here I am, I'm like sitting in the tree stand. I didn't know this. He's like, just look around. You look behind you in the field. And I'm like making all this noise. Like, and I'm like, man, why is there nothing around? Probably because I'm making so much stinking noise. Well, I'm sitting there, and I'm texting Pastor. Man, I haven't seen a thing. And he said, well, that's hunting, man. I'm like, well, yeah, sure. But I said, pray that I find that I see a deer. He said, no. No. I said, come on. I said, I'm trying to be a good steward. If I get a deer, then I got meat in my freezer and I'm being a good steward, blah, 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 blah. And he said, he put in quotation marks, Lord, help Donald to kill Bambi's mom or dad. Amen. And I said, thanks a lot. And can I say this? 10 minutes later, I'm sitting in the tree stand. And it's raining, it's drizzling, it's buggy. I'm like getting a little bored. Really? I mean, I wasn't like super bored, like I'm going to leave, but I'm like, well, what else is there to do? Just sit. So, but I hear a crack on the bush. I'm like, whoa. You know, maybe it's a bird. I don't care. I'll shoot anything right now. If there's, you know. And I hear it again, and I'm telling you, 10 yards in front of me, out of behind the clearing, this deer walks by. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Amazing. Look at this. And I didn't yell, by the way. I didn't say that out loud. I was very quiet. But I said, man, listen, can I just stop? Some of you have seen the picture of my deer. Okay. I've never hunted before. I don't know how to compare deer sizes, okay? Listen, so I'm down, and I pick up my gun. I do it, pick it up. Look through the scope, get my spot that I want. Pew, shot him. Dropped him. Down. I'm like, yes! I just started laughing in the tree stand. I'm like, I was so fired up. I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. This is amazing. I'm a hunter. Oh, I was just ready. I was so pumped. And then the man who was with me pops out, and he thought that I had just shot somewhere blindly in the field at some like moving bush or something. But I said, I got it. It's right there. I get down. And as I get down and get closer, I'm like, you know, it seems like it's getting smaller as I'm getting closer to it. I'm like, do you see it anywhere? I don't see it. Can you? No. So it was a button buck. Don't owe me. I'm the mighty hunter. I get over there, and there was another person out there hunting as well, and they came and they said, oh man, I wouldn't post that on Facebook. And I said, listen, I'm like, come on, I don't know what, you know, listen, if it had spots, I wouldn't have shot it, folks. It wasn't like I shot little Bambi. I shot Bambi's slightly older teenage brother, you know, with his little, pastor told me, he said, listen, you can't kill regular teenagers, so you just kill teenage deer. It just helps you relieve stress. So I got this deer, and I tell you, it was fun, and I gutted it right there in the forest. I'll tell you, for a small deer, dragging it through the forest, I'm kind of glad I didn't get a big deer, because I was getting tired, you know, gutted it out, get all the guts out. I mean, that's cool, man. That is cool. I'm like, all the organs and the intestines are still moving. I'm like, that is amazing. I feel like a nurse, you know. And then I quartered it, and I processed it with the help of the guy who brought me out hunting. I mean, it was so much fun. I'm telling you, I had a blast. I want to go again. I don't know. I mean, I'll know now not to shoot a little tiny one, but, you know, I'm telling you, I'm just saying all that to say this. Now I know why people love hunting. It's fun. Some people don't like it. I thought it was great. I would sit there for a longer time. I would wait for another deer to come. Now if I saw one that small, someone told me, you scared the spots right off that thing. And I said, you know what? I heard this. If it's brown, it's down, is what I say. Amen. But listen, you know what? If the opportunity comes to hunt on a Sunday, I'm not going to go. Now, listen, I'm on staff. I can't go. But if I wasn't, can I tell you, hunting can become a god in your life. It can become a god in your life. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to give me an excuse. Don't try it. It can become a god in your life. Yes, it's okay. Yes, it's great. Yes, it is being a good steward to get meat for your freezer. I thought, I got, you know, I don't got a whole lot of meat, but I got enough meat in there, you know, a couple meals. Listen, it's fun. Stop laughing at me, folks. Come on. But listen, I'm telling you the truth, folks. It's great, but it can become a god in your life. Do not let, it can become a god. For some, it may be a god in your life now. When it's more important to, I mean, listen, you'll get up at 4 a.m., go wait in a tree, when it gets colder in the winter, and you'll sit there and wait for hours. But you can't get up for Sunday school. Yeah. Don't throw anything at me. But you can't be out for work day, or for this activity, or for Sunday night, whatever it may be, folks. I'm not picking on anybody personally at all. I'm just saying the truth. Hunting can become a god in your life. A couple other things in here. Hey, you know what? Your music can become a god. When you say, you know, I don't care what anybody says, I don't care what the preacher says, hey, that music, it helps me, I like it, and that's all there is to it. That can become a god in your life. If your music doesn't honor God, then you're not honoring God when you listen to it. It can become a god in your life. When you've got to have, I've got to have my music, it can become a god in your life. Can I get a little more, here's one, kind of goes with job, but money. The love of money is the root of all evil, but can I tell you, money in and of itself is not wrong. Is it? No, because I need it. You know, I need it to pay my bills. I need to provide for my family. I need money. Money is not wrong. But when money becomes your God, and all you care about is getting that extra buck and saving that extra buck, and you don't want to tithe, you don't want to give to missions, you don't want to give to anything, because you've got to save all that money up for you so you can build up that saving account that you're not going to be able to take with you when you die. Can I tell you, money can become a God, a little g God in your life. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. It can become a little G God when all you care about is getting that money and saving it. Listen, you may not be a stingy person completely, but listen, you may not even know it. Can I get a little bit more serious? Your family can become a god. I love my family more than anybody. More than anybody in this room, I love my family. I know you too, the same about your family. Man, I love my family. Family is important. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more families that loved each other and cared about each other in this country? Yes, it would be wonderful. But can I say, your family can become a little G God in your life. When all you care about is what the kids want. And what this and the kids and blah, blah, blah. And all you care about, and it can become a little G God. When you kind of forget about what God commands, and all you care about is your little, listen, oh my goodness gracious, I would die for my kids. I would die for my wife. But listen, God is first. Thou shalt have no other God before me. It doesn't say thou shalt have no other God before me besides, you know, your loved ones. And no, it says thou shalt have no other gods before me. Your family can become a god. Your spouse can become a god. I love my wife. I love her so much. Oh man, she just turned 25 yesterday. I thought our insurance was lower, but I guess in stinking Michigan it's 26. What is the deal? But listen, I love my wife. Oh, I love my wife more than anybody. Can I say this? I love my wife more than I love my kids. Amen. Amen. My wife comes before my kid. But can I say this? God comes before my wife. God comes before my wife. And she'd say the same, that God comes before me. Your spouse can become a god. When you care about more about their opinion than God's opinion. Whew. Your spouse can become a god. There's so many more I have right here, just a blank piece of paper. Something in your life that's a god. Maybe something I didn't mention. But a god in your life. Could be anything. You could stop and think for just a moment. Something in your life that you've allowed to become a little G God in your life. What is it? It could be anything. Have all these gods, sports and your friends and family, and these gods in our life. Which one do you have? What is your little G God in your life? I want to share quickly today. We got about 15, 20 minutes. Three steps. If you want to write these down, go ahead. Three steps to make sure that you are keeping the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How can we keep the first commandment? Number one is this. Find out what your God is. Little G. Find out what your God is. That's the first step. Find out what it is. Figure out what the God in your life is. Psalm 139 in verse 23 says this. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Find out what your God is. Say, Lord, tell me, Lord, please help me. Listen, maybe it's something that was in the box that I mentioned. You say, you know what, that's me. I've let my job or money or my kids or my wife or sports or hunting or entertainment or whatever, or school, whatever it may be. I've let something get in the way of God. Maybe it's something that you know that's in your heart. I didn't mention it. Something in your heart that you've allowed to become more important than God. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Donald, there's nothing at all in my life that's above God. There's nothing in my life that I've placed above God. Maybe it's yourself. I don't know. So there's nothing at all. Can I say this? Can I quote Scripture for a moment and say that Samson wist not the Lord had departed from him? Samson didn't even realize that the strength given from God was gone. And some may sit here this morning not even realizing that you have a little G God in your life, something that you place more importance on than God, and you don't even realize it. You've gotten so cold to the fact that you've broken the first commandment, you don't even realize you have a little G God in your life. Can I say this? If missing church is okay for you, then you have a little G God in your life. Okay to you. Listen, sometimes you're sick, sometimes your health keeps you. I understand that. Sometimes you're going to get fired if you don't go. Listen, if it's okay with you and it doesn't bother you, then you have a little G God in your life. Hey, if being unfaithful to God doesn't bother you, then you have a little G God in your life. Can I say this? If not reaching people doesn't bother you, You're okay with the fact that thousands of people are going out. You say, I'm not okay with that. Okay, then what are you doing about it? If you're not doing anything about it and you don't care that you're not doing anything about reaching people, then you have a little g God in your life. Something in your life that you've placed more importance on than God. If that's just okay with you. If not reading your Bible, not walking with God doesn't bother you, then you have a little g God in your life. Man, you can go days without reading your Bible, without praying, and it just doesn't faze you. Then you have something in your life that you've placed more importance on than God. You have a little g God in your life. And you may not even realize it. You may not even know it or recognize it. But you have a little g God in your life. If sin does not bother you, if you can blatantly disobey the commandments of God, and that's okay with you, then you have a little g God in your life. You've broken the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is it? What is your God? Number one is find out what your God is. Is it something on this table? Is it winning? Is it your job? Is it money or hunting? What is it? Figure it out and decide. Figure it out and admit to it. Admit to it. That's the first step. But you say, how do I find out what it is if I don't know? Say, listen, I'm okay with some of it, but I don't know what it is. How do I find out? Can I give you just a few pointers? Why don't you ask God? Ask God to reveal to you. Psalm 139, verse 23, we read that verse. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. If you really want to know what's above God, you ask Him. Say, Lord, please reveal to me in my life what it is that I'm placing more importance. God, please, I want to know, God. I want to be number one. I don't want to have any other gods before You. Lord, please, show me what it is that I'm placing more importance on than You. God, please show me. Ask God. Ask God. He'll show you. You can also, why don't you do this? See if your priorities line up with God's priorities. See if your priorities line up with God's priorities. Is what you think important? Does God think that's just as important as you do? See if your priorities line up with God's priorities. You know what one of God's priorities is? Being faithful to His house. That's something that He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know what else? Hey, how about this? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a priority of God's. How about this? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Being in God's Word, that's a priority of God's, walking with Him. Do your priorities line up with God's priorities? If they do not, whatever it is that you place more importance on than God's priorities is a little g God in your life. A little g God in your life. How about this? Why don't you try to find out what it is? How is your attitude toward the things of God? This is a tough one. How is your attitude toward the things of God? Is church a bore to you? Listen, I know I'm not the most exciting preacher, but listen, when you come to, do you dread coming to church? Is a good question. Do you wake up Sunday morning and say, oh man, I really wish I could just sleep? Is church a bore to you? Is it an annoyance? Hey, is every time myself or pastor says, hey, make sure you're up for Saturday soul winning. Make sure 11 a.m. be here. Man, we want to be here. And you're just like, shit, I'm right. I'm not going that. No way, Jose. Sorry, can't do it. How is your attitude towards the things of God? Hey, is the children's ministry, whether it's those who come with their families, does the children's ministry bug you? Does the bus ministry bug you and bother you? They're more of a nuisance to you than anything. Can I say this? If that's the case, then you have a little g God in your life. You will place something in your life more important, of higher importance than the things of God. Because God cares about all of our children, every one of them in our church. Yes, hey, I work with them weekly. Whether it's your kids, folks, or kids that ride our bus. And you know what? They can sometimes be a little tough to deal with. But God loves them, and I love them. And if every time we get these kids up here and they're fooling around and messing around and you just sit there with this snide look on your face, God help you. Whew! I'm going to get fired for this. God help you. You've placed something more important in your life than what's important to God. Because you know what? Hey, these kids are important to God. Your kids are important to God. The children ministry, the teen ministry, these things are important to God. How is your attitude towards the things of God? And if it is negative in any way, church is a bore and soul winning is a nuisance to you and all these things, then you have a little g God in your life. Figure out what it is that has become more important than God. Oh, you know what? If you really try, you will find out. If you really try, you will find out what you think is important. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If I had a life-threatening disease, I would want to know what it is. I would want to know what disease I had. I wouldn't want to. If I had all these crazy symptoms and I had limbs falling off and I had, you know, boils over my face, listen, I'd want. I wouldn't be like, well, you know, hopefully it takes care of itself. No, I'd want to know what it is. And can I say this? Some in this room, you have a spiritual life-threatening disease. A spiritual life-threatening disease, and just don't care. Figure out what it is. Figure out what it is. When you have a God, a little g God in your life, you have a spiritual life-threatening disease. Figure out what it is. Number one is find out what your God is. Find out what your little g God is. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two is this. Number one was find out what your God is. Number two is this. Free yourself from that God. Free yourself from that little g God. Free yourself from it. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, free yourself from that God. 1 John 1:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, free yourself from that God. Like I said, if I had a disease, I'd want to know what it was. But listen, when I found out what that disease was, I wouldn't just sit around and do nothing about it. Oh, I got cancer. You know, cool. Hope everything's all right. No. I would do whatever it took to get that disease taken care of. And so would you. And when we have a little g God in our life, we have a spiritual life-threatening disease, and we should do everything in our power to take care of it, to fix it. So we can obey the first commandment that says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Find out what it is that's in your life that's a little g God and free yourself from it. Free yourself from it. Listen, that doesn't mean get rid of it completely. Say, well, you know, my job has been above God, so I quit. Bad move. Not good. I'm not saying you got to get rid of things completely, but just get your priorities back in the proper order. Just get things back in order. Example, if you care more about watching the sports game on a Sunday evening than coming to church, listen, that doesn't mean you stop watching football forever or stop watching baseball, whatever it is that's, you know, that doesn't mean you just stop watching. I'm throwing my TV away. You know, Larry Brown. Remember Evangelist Larry Brown? He has this famous message where he just starts slamming a TV with an axe. I'm not saying you got to take an axe to your TV. But you know what you can do? You can just come to church. That's getting your priorities in order. Yeah, I'm not saying you got to get rid of it completely. I'm not saying, you enjoy sleeping in the morning. You know, it's hard for you to get up in the morning and walk with God. That doesn't mean you stay up all night. I know you know what I'm saying. I don't have to explain myself. But I want you to know, I'm not saying you get rid of these things completely when you free yourself from that little g God. You just get your priorities back in order. You just set your alarm and get up. You hang out with your friends more than coming to church. Listen, just tell them you got to go to church. Whatever it may be, money in your life. You know, you're trying to get that raise. You're trying to get that raise. So you're working all day Sunday, or you're working all day Saturday, or on Wednesday nights, or whatever it may be. And listen, in your heart, I'm saying it's different for everybody. Everybody's life is different. But if in your heart you feel convicted about this, and you know what? Man, I should be in God's house. I should be in God's house. Then get things back in order. God will bless you for that. Hey, can I tell you, it takes faith sometimes to get things back in order. Especially when there are big things like your family or your marriage. Listen, you put God first, sometimes you get a little nervous. Can I say this? Great faith honors God. When you have the faith, and you say, you know what, Lord? This may hurt me financially, but I want to put you first. So I'm going to make sure I'm this or the other thing. I'm going to change this, do this, whatever. Great faith honors God, and God honors great faith. Amen? Amen. Great faith honors God, and God honors great faith. Little g gods, listen to this statement. Little g gods in your life will destroy your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Little g gods in your life will destroy your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Listen, whatever it may be, folks, that was in this box, If you do not take care of it and free yourself from it, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, it will destroy your relationship with God the Father. It will. That little G God will destroy your relationship with capital G God. Completely. Because you've let something get more important than Him. It's like a stench in your nose that you get used to. Been to someone's house that has maybe pets, and that smell, you walk in and you're like, whoa, like, yeah, you can just swim through it. And listen, the people that live there, they don't even notice it because they've gotten used to it. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. And listen, the same thing can happen. You get so used to this little G God in your life and where it is on your priority list, that doesn't even bother you. It doesn't even faze you that you're disobeying God's commandment, that you're putting something above God. It doesn't even bother you. It's just like that. I challenge you, do this. Maybe you say, well, I'm having a hard... I want you to go home and write a list of your priorities. Things in order of importance. Job, family, God, this, church. And I want you to see where things line up. See where, what, and in what order of importance. Your car, your friends, your family, your sports, your kids, your husband, your wife, whatever it may be. God, and see where those things line up. Write down your priorities. And then say the verse, Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if God's way down here in the bottom, or even in the middle, so you know what? I've got to figure out a way to get Him back to the top. I've got to get my priorities back in order. No other gods before me. True story of a man. I've changed his name in the story just for the sake of him, but it was a news article. And plus his name was really hard to pronounce, so I changed it to someone easier. Because I have to say it several times, but... His name's Dave Johnson. We don't have any Dave Johnson here, do we? Good. Dave Johnson had what... Listen. Dave Johnson had what appeared to be the perfect dream job. He made millions of dollars a year as the CEO of... it's called PIMCO, a global investment firm located in sunny Newport Beach, California. Millions of dollars per year. All was well until his little girl gave him a note during an argument over brushing her teeth. As a result of the words written on the piece of paper, Johnson abruptly resigned from the company earlier this year. In the note, his daughter listed 22 special occasions in her life that her dad had missed because of his job. Mr. Johnson explained his decision in a newspaper article that he wrote. Now, before I read the article, think of what he says. Think of what this man says from a spiritual standpoint in your life. From a life, maybe yours, where God is not at the top of the list. I want you to think about, as I'm reading these words, I want you to think spiritually for a moment. Just try, use your imagination and just think spiritually for a moment about the word. Now, he's talking about him and his daughter, the relationship with him and his daughter. I want you to think about your relationship with Christ and how high He is on your priority list. Here's the article. This is what Dave Johnson said. He said, it was a list that she had compiled of her important events and activities that I had missed due to work commitments. The list contained 22 items, from her first day at school and first soccer match of the season to a parent-teacher meeting and a Halloween parade. I felt awful and got defensive. I had a good excuse for each missed event. Travel, important meetings, an urgent phone call, sudden to-do. But it dawned on me that I was missing an infinitely more important point. I was not making nearly enough time for her. This man gave up his $1 million a year job because he realized, I'm not spending enough time with my daughter. I'm missing out on the relationship. I'm hurting the relationship. And it sounds like some of our lives today. When we have let things that aren't bad, that aren't sin, but we've allowed them to get above God. We've allowed them to take a higher place of priority in our lives than Almighty God. We're not spending nearly enough time with God like we should. Because we have these little g-gods in our life that we've let take the place, and we've broken the first commandment. You may have good excuses, but an excuse is still just an excuse. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How do I truly free myself from the gods in my life, from the little g gods in my life? I talked about, you ask God, you do this. But can I tell you, really, the best way is the last point. How do I truly free myself from that God? Sure, you ask God, He changed things. But really, number three, my last point is the answer. Number three is this. For number one, we said, find out what your God is. Number two, free yourself from that God. Number three, the last point. Focus on the one God that deserves your attention. Focus on the one God, capital G God, that deserves your attention. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Focus on the one God that deserves your attention. If your house was burning to the ground, if you showed back up at your house and your house was on fire and your kids were in the house, you know what you wouldn't do? You wouldn't say, well, I better get these flowers watered. Well, you know, I'm a little hungry. I think I need to grab some lunch. Hey, you know what? I'm supposed to stop by that person's house and drop something off. You know what? My hair's getting long. I should get a haircut. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get inside that house. You're going to get your kids out of there because they are important to you. They are top priority. Who cares about your haircut? Who cares about the stinking flowers? No, your kids are in that burning house, and you're going to get in there and take them out because it's the most important. When did God suddenly become a secondary priority in your life? When did God suddenly become a low man in the totem pole in your life? Where things that don't mean anything, really, when we die, they've taken a higher place in your life. When did God suddenly become a secondary priority in your life? Can I say this? Please stop trying to justify it. Oh, yes, we can all say, well, yeah, but this or, but you know what? I just want, listen, stop justifying sin. Because the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other God before me. When God is not at the top, He may as well be at the bottom. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Focus on the one God that deserves your attention. We're here, and I'm done, folks, just a moment. You got this box of God that took everything out, emptied it out. You know, all the reading and the family and the blank piece of paper, which may be something that it's in your life, the money, the music, the marriage, the sports, school, entertainment, whatever it may be. And I say this, only one thing should be in this box. Only one thing should be in this box. Listen, this was given to me by a teenager several years back. It's just a cross with all the names of God on it, of Jesus. Listen, this is the only thing that should be in your box. These things are not wrong. They're not sin. Hey, they're good things. These things are good things. Hey, you know what? Praise God for your job, that God's given you a job. Praise God for your car, your family, your marriage. Praise God for the joy in some form of entertainment that brings you happiness, brings you fun times. Listen, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but when they're in this box, they are wrong. They become sin. But can I say this? When they're out of the box, when they're below your top priority, then they're not little g gods anymore. They're blessings, really. But when they take the place of Almighty God, and they become a god in your life, it becomes sin. Focus on the one God that deserves your attention. Can I tell you why He deserves your attention? Because He died for you. Because He loves you. Because He cares about you. Because He's given you a family. Because He's given you a job. Because He's given you that car. He's given you the things that you place above Him. Isn't that tough to wrap your mind around sometimes? He has given you the same things that you've taken and elevated above Him. All that God has done for us, all that He's going to do for us, He deserves first place in our life. First place in our life. Number one, the one God that's in our box of our life, our God. No other gods before me. No other God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, thou shalt have no other, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I'm sorry, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you when you seek Him first. Amen. When you seek Him first. By and by, when I look on His face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on His face, we'll wish we had given Him more. Thou shalt have no other God before me. So what's in your box, folks? What's in your box? What are you placing above God? What are the little g gods in your life? Can I challenge you today? Make it right. Make it right with Him. Make it right and get your priorities back in order. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.